This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director, talking with Kermit Staggers, who has been, well, let's see, city councilor for how long now?
Well, it's been, this is about my 10th year. The reason I say that is because I was on the city council for 8 years, then term limited out, and then I had a break in service, and now I'm back again. So this is about 10 years total.
We can say 10 years as a councilor, and then earlier it was a commissioner.
Actually, you mean state senator?
Well, no, it was the city commissioner at one time.
Yes.
Yeah, before we changed the strong mayor.
Yeah, it used to be
charter.
City commission, and with the city commission, they had full-time people. We're just part-time people, which I think is the best way to go, really.
Well, you answer your telephone. That's unusual in today's age.
Well, yeah, I still believe in telephones, and so I answer them.
Well, you were a state legislator, though, for how long?
I was in the state senate for 8 years, then I was term limited out.
And before that, the Air Force as the intelligence officer?
Yeah, early in my career, just after graduating from college, then I was in Air Force intelligence for 6 years.
And teaching government in what else at University of Sioux Falls?
Well, at USF, I teach American government and also teach American history. So I'm kind of like the person that's in charge of teaching courses dealing with America.
Well, Kermit, you've been around. You go back to when it was Sioux Falls College.
Yes.
And you've seen the city change quite a bit.
It's incredible because we moved here in 1982. And at the time we moved here, the population of the city was around 80,000 or 82,000. Today we're at 160,000. So it's doubled since we've been here. And, yeah, it is truly remarkable what has happened in Sioux Falls. We are very fortunate, and we continue to be very fortunate because we just really have an outstanding population. The citizens are fantastic.
Well, Sioux Falls has grown in population, but it's that growth that brings the economy that we have. And it's interesting, North Dakota, South Dakota tourism has been having kind of a friendly competition a little bit. They were saying we're going to put billboards up in North Dakota saying, go to North Dakota for jobs, come to South Dakota for life.
Yes, I think that's great.
Well, the thing, Kermit, is that we want to educate, I guess, and communicate everything that's going on in the city. And as a former state legislator, is there anything that Sioux Falls is going to be looking at in the state legislature coming up here in just a half a month or so?
Well, probably one of the most important things to keep in mind is that we have an election in November of 2014. So the legislators probably for the most part will not want to introduce legislation which might be too controversial. They want to try to keep it calm because they're up for re-election. However, of course, we're going to have to be dealing with the issue of Obamacare, and that's something the Dugard administration, of course, is still contemplating as to exactly what to do, especially in regard to Medicaid. They have not made a firm decision on whether they want to expand Medicaid or not. There are some members of the legislature who are adamantly opposed to that. And the reason is because the concern that once we start adding more and more people to Medicaid, during the first few years, the federal government will be paying for most of it. But what's going to happen after that? Because even when I was in the state senate back in the 1990s, at that time we were talking about Medicaid because it took so much a large part of our state budget. And now if you add more people and then in the future the state gets, I guess you could say, stuck with paying for all these additional people on Medicaid, it's going to have an incredible impact on the state budget. It already has a large impact, but even larger.
On the other hand, there's a lot of South Dakotans that are really in need of maybe some assistance in that way.
Well, yes, there are people in South Dakota that have medical needs. But fortunately, in South Dakota, we have some other ways of dealing with medical needs. We don't necessarily just have to automatically, go to Medicaid. Here in Sioux Falls itself, we have a number of clinics that are basically free clinics. And we have the hospitals who oftentimes, they do help people out a lot. So I guess that we're very special here in South Dakota, having these other ways of helping people out.
We work with the county, I know, quite a bit, and the county's having a problem with more people going to the emergency room, or especially with the rehabilitation as well as the jailing of a lot of crack addicts. It takes a lot longer to for a crack addict to be able to deal with their addiction than, say, an alcoholic.
Yes.
The county's running up a lot of expense in that, but the city works pretty close with the county, too, don't they?
Well, we do to some extent. But when it comes to providing for the welfare of citizens in Minnehaha County, whether it's providing food or shelter or medical care or whatever, that is not the responsibility of the city. It is the responsibility of the county. Now, having said that, we have the city taking on some of this these functions, but we are not legally obligated to do that at all. And the area that we most often get involved in when it comes to helping people is in regard to the city health clinic. We do have many, many, many people going there to get medical care, but also dental care.
What is the eligibility to go to a Sioux Falls clinic?
Well, when it comes to the Sioux Falls City Clinic that we operate, anybody can go there. And then what happens is the cost is based on your income. So if you do have high income and go to the city clinic, you know, you're going to be paying maybe full fare. But if you do not have much income, it's quite likely you're not going to be paying very much, if any.
Which helps the young mother who's having a baby or whichever and no, you know, not be able to work, I guess, or whichever. Minimum wage is another thing I think the state legislature is going to probably be, it's actually going to be on the public ballot.
It's going to be on the ballot next year for the citizens to actually vote on, yes.
Kermit, I guess, what are your views on that? Would that affect the business in Sioux Falls?
Well, when it comes to Sioux Falls, I would be inclined to think that most businesses would not be affected because most businesses in Sioux Falls pay above the minimum wage already. And if this would actually pass statewide, I don't think it would have much of an impact on Sioux Falls. Now, having said that, then we have the smaller communities in West River, for example, where, you know, we have these small businesses trying to survive. The minimum wage could be devastating towards many of these businesses that are in small communities.
But in Sioux Falls, if they have more money to spend, that means more sales tax for the city. It means they'll be able to buy more things. There is a kind of a ripple effect of having a little bit more money to spend.
Oh, yes. That means we will we would have a situation where workers would have a little bit more to spend. But that also means businesses have less to spend.
Well, Kermit, it's a yin and yang, I guess we could say. And that's what makes things interesting in South Dakota, because we do have a balanced budget. We had a $70 million surplus, which was able to go to schools and the other things that we're hoping. But everything else was pretty much an increase, the bare minimum as required by law. But yet, compared to other states and other places around the country, we're doing pretty good.
Yes, exactly right. We're almost kind of like an island of prosperity here. And this has been the case for some time. And that's something we can be very proud of. And that's something that other states should be looking at is South Dakota. Why is South Dakota doing fairly well, especially during a time when the downturn in the economy? And I think part of the reason why we're doing so well is that, well, first of all, we do have a very friendly business climate. And we have less taxes, we have less regulation, and so forth. And while I'm saying that, on the other hand, at the national level, we're going in the opposite direction. We have more regulation, we have more taxes, and so forth. So I think that the rest of the country can look to South Dakota as maybe, hey, we're doing some things that are right, and maybe that should be happening at the national level, too.
And the city of Sioux Falls, having, you know, basically we do have some money that hasn't even been allocated that we're trying to figure out what to do. Detroit would love to have that situation, wouldn't they?
Yeah, Detroit. It's a really a sad situation because when I was growing up, when I was in high school, I went to high school in a suburb of Detroit. And at that time, Detroit was really an incredible city. And so what has happened to Detroit right now is very sad, at least to me and also many other people, too. It didn't have to happen. That's the thing. Sometimes people think these things are inevitable. And it was inevitable that Detroit was going to go bankrupt. No, it was not inevitable at all.
We used to hang on the whims of the meatpacking plant in Sioux Falls. That was our main industry at one time when I was younger, which is, I'm so old I don't have tattoos. But now we have diversity. We have hospitals, medical, things that I think we don't have to worry about going away.
That's exactly right. We have such a nicely diversified economy here in Sioux Falls. You mentioned the hospitals, which is so true. We still have Morrell's, which is so, so important. And then we also have the banking industry, and we're getting more tech companies here. Yeah, just yesterday I was at a business which is very, very high tech, which has customers throughout the country, and it's doing fantastic. I didn't even know it existed here in Sioux Falls, but it's an incredible facility they're operating from.
In other words, they're still coming to South Dakota because of our banking laws.
Yeah, we still have very favorable banking laws and regulation, and yeah, it's just, I don't know, one of these days I'm going to have to just count up how many different banks we have just in Sioux Falls.
Well, a lot of that unclaimed money that was part of that windfall that the state received, that $70 million from, is from a lot of the banking industry. It's accounts that have been, you know, dormant, they can't find who it goes to, and so on and so forth, but a large part of that has been coming from that banking industry is why we're getting that money.
Yeah, that's true, and that's something we also have to watch out for, too, because what happens is unclaimed funds go to the state, and one would think, well, okay, that's going to be put into a special account, and then the people might eventually come and get their money. But that's not the way it works. The way it works is the state simply budgets that money and spends it.
Well, they have a certain time that they can claim that, and they do have quite an effort to try and locate those people.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
And publicize it in magazines, newspapers.
You're absolutely right.
Websites.
But I guess my preference would be to keep that money segregated and not spend any of it.
Well, that would be nice to collect interest on it. Our investments, the state investments have been doing quite well.
Yes, our investment council has always been historically very, very, very good in making money.
Well, like I say, Sioux Falls success, are we really saying that Sioux Falls could even be a boom town with all the construction going on?
I think you could say it's a boom town in relation to other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. Now, we can't say we're a boom town in relation to Williston, North Dakota, and where all the oil is, and that's just fine. That's because they have extraordinary problems there with infrastructure.
Sense.
Yes. Yes, I think in regard to many other communities in the country, I guess you could probably say we're kind of a boom town.
Some people say, are we becoming more of a city that's run by or encouraging more of the development or listening to the small home owner in that sense? You know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, we do have a lot of development taking place here in Sioux Falls. Over recent years, there have been neighbors now who are becoming more aware that according to city ordinances, they can do different things in regard to development that might be taking place near them. And so we're getting more and more neighborhoods who might be a little upset with some development near them.
Are we getting more and more things going to the ballot, it seems like? Is that a sign of a problem?
I'm not sure if it's a sign of a problem, but it is truly amazing because next April 8th, when we have our city election and school board election, we're going to have four initiatives and referendums on the ballot. I mean, this is unheard of. This is kind of unprecedented. You know, there are some people that think, oh no, this is too much. The people are becoming too much involved in this. And myself, I'm happy that the citizenry has become involved in this and that we'll be able to vote on these issues next April.
Well, you ran for mayor before. Do you think you might jump into the mayor's race?
This time around, I think we basically have the candidates in place right now. And so my answer would be no. I am strongly supporting one of the candidates running for office, and it's going to be an interesting election.
We had nine candidates when you ran last. Is that good or bad? Actually, I think, you know, most people would say, well, that's the example of people being able to participate in mm-hmm. governing the city.
Yeah, I thought that was great. I thought that was just fine. And we had a lot of political debates. I mean, we had a lot. I mean, I remember during the election in 2010, we had debates in December. And here we are in December. Nobody's even thinking about any debates for mayor or anything like that. I kind of wish we would, but we don't have any debates this December.
It's sad to say someone who ran for mayor twice, Mr. Aja, passed away. He really was kind of a common man representative.
Well, he was. I'm really glad that he ran, and I'm very, very saddened about his passing. Well, I wouldn't say he was the only common man running that last time around, but he definitely was. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
What are you seeing in that? You've got how much left on your term, I guess?
Well, the next time I would be up would be for election in 2016.
What do you hope that you'll be able to accomplish in that time?
My first time on the city council, one of the first things I started with was actually Snowgates. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hoping that, next year, April 8th, 2014, the citizens vote for the Snowgates. I think there's a lot of optimism in Sioux Falls. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. This time around, and this is also true when I was on the council before, is we got to have some property tax relief. I mean, every year, constantly, we have these property tax increases. And I do mention they're not large each year. They're rather small. But over 10 years, guess what? These little small increases add up to quite a bit of money and hurt people that are on fixed income, whether senior citizens, people with medical problems, or whatever the case might be. It hurts everybody. And also the commercial businesses, they're paying even more in taxes than regular homeowners are. We got to have relief for everybody.
What would you do to would you decrease the property tax, or how would you do that?
Well, the first thing we have to do, I think, and I've been trying to do this now for many years, is that not having a property tax increase. That's a good way to start.
Freeze it. That's
yes.
A good, freeze
yes.
It. That's a good term this time of year.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Freeze it. And give people a break. But we have not done that. But I will continue to bring this up as long as I'm on the city council.
I think one lady, or sewer tax was increasing quite a bit, a few dollars each year. And mm-hmm. Property tax went up like $70. To many people, they don't know what it's going to be. It's like a surprise.
Yes, it is a surprise. And let me just also kind of defend the city a little bit when it comes to property taxes. We're not the only ones collecting the property tax. The number one entity, of course, is the school district. They're collecting it, and then also the county, and then also the city, too. But we can do our part as the city in not increasing our share of the property taxes.
I see other cities like, Brandon T. having bond issues that people vote for when they build a new school building.
Yeah, that's kind of nice to let people vote. Here in Sioux Falls, we haven't voted on a bond issue in how long?
Well, I remember Lincoln High School got turned down about three or four times
mm-hmm.
because they said, you don't need carpeting in the hallway or you don't need a swimming pool. And it finally passed, but we haven't voted for a school building ever since.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a technical way to get around in not allowing the citizens to vote on bonds for school buildings and things like that. And hey, I think it's more imperative than ever that the citizens of Sioux Falls be allowed to vote on bonding for school buildings. Because even though we are a restricted district and we can't expand our boundaries, we're getting more and more school buildings all the time. And the citizenry has little input there.
Well, they try to make a voice at the meetings. Speaking with Kermit Staggers, city councilor, the city itself, now we have a lot of bonds too.
Yes, we do.
The event center. Mm-hmm. What other things do we have, debts or bonds?
A lot of our debt revolves around the infrastructure, sewers and water lines and things like that. We get a lot of this money from the state. We borrow it and at very low interest rate. And so we do have a substantial amount of debt, almost $400 million. And, that's something we have to always be aware of. But a lot of that debt is with the infrastructure and is very low interest, like 2% or something like that.
I've had some other counselors on the program in the last year. They say that the developers aren't really coming up with a lot of the money that was supposed to be part of a development, like for streets and that type of thing. There were some funds that the developers are supposed to be putting in.
Oh, yeah. It's not like they're putting it in voluntarily, it regard to platting fees. Mm-hmm. The idea was is that a lot of the money for arterial streets would come from platting fees, and then the rest would come from us, the citizens, with the increase in that sales tax. It's turned out that the platting fees have not generated near enough the revenue as projected.
Thought, yeah.
That's exactly right. So that's where a lot of the complaint is.
Well, I see more in some of the new developments, private streets.
Yes.
Where the city plows don't go there.
No, they don't. The responsibility for private streets is for the people in the area to pay for the snow removal and so forth.
Well, the city's done quite an effort in reestablishing the downtown. You were a representative, mm-hmm. I think, of that. You're at large, I think, now, right?
I'm at large now, yes,
but
I am.
You represented the downtown district, I think, in the past.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. The city has really done some thought and some progress downtown.
Well, you know, the city likes to take credit for all of this, and that's understandable. But really, I mentioned to business people downtown, you're the ones that are really responsible for this. And that's true, because private business has put millions of dollars into the downtown area. And it is incredible what has happened over the past several years. More and more businesses and more apartments downtown. I give most of the credit to private business.
And I hope we remember, because he passed away in the last year too, Don Dunham did a
yes.
lot to revitalize even the weeds around the Sioux River for quite a ways around downtown.
Yes, that's right. And we have his family continuing on, and we have other developers too that are mm-hmm. still working on the downtown.
Some people have been asking about the TIF payments. It seems like it's these handful of developers, though, that seem to be getting those.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. It's a handful of developers, and my inclination is that kind of like Kenny Anderson, but Kenny, well, my view is that, hey, if we're helping out certain people, certain developers, okay, well, let's also extend this to other people, too. So, for example, if somebody has a house that's in pretty bad shape, why shouldn't they also get some benefits, too? So my inclination is not really so much to limit the TIF districts to certain developers and so forth, but open up the entire city. If it's good for a few developers, it's good for all of us.
The historic district's seen a lot of houses torn down.
Yes, that's true. The city has demolished a number of these houses, and now we have empty lots. And that's something we have to be extremely careful about, destroying houses, because once they're destroyed, that's it. They'll never return.
On the other hand, they're building some apartment complexes. I think the rent there is reasonable, but some of them downtown, I don't know if I would want to, you know, stand out in the parking lot late at night.
Uh-huh, right. That's, you know, that's just a reality we have to be aware of, and also at the same time to make sure that we have the police, strongly having a presence in those areas where we do have some criminal activity taking place.
They work hard at it. They know everybody there. They're personal. They do have a presence. I think any city, when we start getting our size, we're going to have some of that problem. I hope it's not like Omaha. In Omaha, there's somebody getting murdered or stabbed yeah. almost every other day.
Yeah. Well, you know, if I could just say something briefly about that, you know, I can understand why people feel that way. You know, we're getting larger, we're going to get more crime. I guess I don't want to have that mentality. We're getting larger, but I don't think we have to have the crime. It's going to take bigger efforts and so forth to make sure that's the case. But we just can't kind of give in to this view that we're getting bigger, we're going to have more crime.
There is a plateau, though, when we hit 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody's really planning for that yet. It's not too far away. But we start to lose a lot of federal monies because we then should be big enough to take care of ourselves, the government says.
Yeah, that's right. And in one area where the 200,000 is an important benchmark is in regard to the bus service. Right now, we get a lot of federal money, but once we get to 200,000, it's going to become a little bit different. But having said that, I should also mention, too, that we do spend a lot of city tax money on the bus service. I'm trying to recall, I think this year we're spending $4 million worth of city tax money from the city taxpayers of Sioux Falls to subsidize that.
I think every city subsidizes mass transit in some degree or another, though, right?
Well, what has happened, at least since the late 1970s, government has been taking over city transit systems and things like that. You know, back in the late 1970s, we used to have private bus service here in Sioux Falls.
We used to have trolleys back in the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm. And then I remember I was talking to one government official at the time, and he said, yeah, you know what has happened? And they started getting all these regulations, which kind of forced the private business, private bus service out, and now we have government bus service.
I ride the bus. I can ride all the buses I want for $12.50 a month as a senior, and that saves me a lot of money. And I just got to say, I got on the bus the other day, and the bus driver gave me a pen. It said, Merry Christmas, and her name, Judy.
Oh.
So I want to thank Judy for making my day, you know, like
Well, that's very nice of Judy to do that.
Part of the experience of riding the bus, you meet some interesting people,
yes.
Make some friends. But if more people rode the bus, they could save a lot of money. And going night...
Hopefully, but sometimes that doesn't work when you have a government operation. You know, one would think, you know, yes, more people ride, save money. But many times that doesn't work in a government context.
Now, next spring, they're going to go till 10 o'clock at night, which is going to help a lot of the workers that go to McDonald's in the afternoon. They can have a ride back at night, but also the paratransit, because those in a wheelchair, they'll be able to get a ride back without having to call paratransit.
And what's going on here is that we're actually spending more money to do that. Initially, the proposal was we got to save money, but we're ending up spending more money for that.
Well, it's cheaper than a taxi cab any day.
Well, you know, when you take a look at the paratransit, the cost for paratransit is around $23 per ride. That's a lot more than a taxi. So some people are contemplating, well, we could have spent all that money on taxi service for these people and so forth and so forth.
Our time is rapidly running out, Kermit, but is there going to be some regulation for taxis? There's been a lot of discussion.
Oh, yes, there's been a lot of discussion. There's a lot of enthusiasm about more regulation and so forth. I hope not. And one of the reasons is because I haven't had any complaints from people about taxis. Well, let me back up and say there was one complaint. It was from a taxi owner who contacted me and was complaining about there's too much competition with taxis and wanted me to do something about it. Well, in essence, I said, there's no way I'm going to try to eliminate your competition to benefit you. But that's how this whole thing got started. It wasn't in regard to people having lousy taxi service. It was these taxi owners who don't like all the increased competition. There is a lot of competition, but that's very beneficial to the consumer. And we haven't passed anything yet. There's a lot of time being spent on writing up an ordinance and things like this. I hope it doesn't pass.
Well, Kermit Staggers, Councilman, people can come down and have their 5 minutes anytime they want at the council meeting.
Yes, absolutely. And that's really important. And that's something the city is very proud of, that we don't have you come and sign or call ahead to make sure you get to speak. Just show up, come forward, and say anything you want for 5 minutes.
Well, I've got to say they did a pretty good job on the Operation Timber Strike.
Yes, the city did a very good job. Absolutely, yes.
And the streets don't have as many potholes.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be getting cleared they work very hard at it. So we're in a good place, a good time. Maybe we shouldn't tell anybody about it.
Well, when we say Sioux Falls, South Dakota, well, I think in reality that's going to turn many people off. South Dakota, the winter, the cold, and so forth. So those kind of people, well, yeah, if they can't endure a little bit of cold, they can stay where they're at. We want people who want to come here, work hard, and be successful.
We're well-seasoned.
Yes.
Kermit Staggers, thank you for being with us on Forum.
Hey, it's nice being here, John. And have a nice Christmas.